Good morning. Today is Monday, September the 18th. Joining us this morning, I guess what, the junior bank dude? The bank junior dude.
John Dolby has big shoes to fill, as you know.
Yeah, well, he's got...
I can get both of my
a lot of big things, yeah. let's just say a big shadow, okay?
Yes, he'd cast a big shadow.
All right. John's not with us. Fred Moore is with us, however. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So let me see if we can find some kind of a quote worthy of your presence here.
Okay.
The blue tie special.
Thank you.
Oh. No, I can't find it. I can't find a blue tie special.
You know what? I think I have a good one. I think I have a great one, actually.
Well, here, I got one.
Okay.
I got one. It's more a banking line than blue tie thing. Good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment.
Amen. I've made more mistakes than I've done things right in my life, so I can identify with that.
Yeah, quote. Yeah. Just don't say that to Jackie, right?
Amen.
Or she reminds you of it regularly.
She's the CEO of the household.
Yeah, so yeah.
I want to step on those toes.
What, you know, we've been hearing an awful lot, Fred, with challenges in banking in a number of areas. I was thinking over the weekend with all the destruction and stuff in Florida, and I guess what seems to be lining up for some additional hits in the region. What special challenges does that present to the banking community? You know, here would be earthquakes and flood. I mean, you know,
right.
Just pick your flavor. What does that do to you guys? Does it put you in a precarious situation, a one where you can really be a partner and help out, or do you guys get as impacted as anybody does and everybody's kind of struggling?
That's a great question. So for a community bank like us, we feel like we have a strategic advantage over a lot of our peers in that we're in a part of the country where community truly matters. So a community bank in, you know, Sacramento, Los Angeles, in a metropolitan market's more of a number and not a name and a face and a relationship.
Right, but if the Sacramento River floods, whoever's in Sacramento, they're going to be doing something.
Right, they better have flood insurance first and foremost. So for us, a loan is basically backed up by collateral. So at the end of the day, your collateral is at risk. And so as you were posing the question, I'm thinking to myself, you've got all of this secured property that's likely impugned in some fashion. Well, it could be gone. It could be severely damaged. It could be totaled.
Yeah, here's your 2x4. Thank you.
So you need to make sure that you've crossed your T's and dotted your proverbial I's and that you have adequate insurance on all of those pieces of collateral, because that's kind of the background for your shareholders to protect them as well as your borrowers. So you want to make sure that they can be made whole, and in turn, if they can't, you can as the institution who basically has a lien on that property.
So I would think flood insurance in our area would be a logical one.
It's mandatory. It's mandatory.
By the regulators?
By the regulators. So if you have collateral in a flood zone, and FEMA is constantly updating those maps, as you may well imagine, you're required to have flood insurance, and that flood insurance needs to be adequate not only to cover your loss, but to adequately cover all the pieces of collateral on the parcel. In Humboldt County, you have bigger than normal parcels. So
that's for the bank itself. Now, what do you guys do? Let's say bank is whole, but a lot of your loan holders are the ones who are being impacted.
Uh-huh.
Let's say floods, and let's say, just because of the historical, Ferndale Valley, or mm-hmm. the Eel River Valley mm-hmm. in the Ferndale area. Okay, mm-hmm. you guys, what flexibility do you have to be able to help them out?
We have a lot of flexibility. At the end of the day, during the Great Recession of 2007, 8, and 9, one of the reasons we survived and continue to thrive is because our customers are our neighbors, they're our friends, they're our vendors, and in some cases, they're our shareholders. So we have a multitude of reasons to make sure that they can survive and withstand. And so we have some flexibility. Maybe retool their loan, change the basic terms and conditions so that they can get back on their feet, pay their loan, and survive to see another day, whether it's their personal loan, their business loan, and so forth. So we have a lot of flexibility.
Now, there's a lot of government regulations that you guys play with and regulators that you get to play with on a regular basis. Do those folks tend to come to the aid of, or do they stand back and try to stay out of the way?
It's nice that you say we play with the regulators. I never thought of it in a sandbox analogy. But I think it depends on the relationship that you have fostered and cultured over the years. And I think our board of directors, our senior management team, view them as stakeholders as much as our shareholders. So we've been fully transparent with them. We know what the regulations are. We take great pride in following the rules and have thus created a collaborative environment where they'd want to see us help our customers as much as they'd want to help us.
So as individuals, they might be able to provide a little insight, a little bit of direction. And
they do have
like
kind of a code of conduct, but at the end of the day...
That's getting close to saying ethics.
Well, they have rules that they have to follow, but within the rules... As in most regulations, they're subject to interpretation.
You're not playing this morning, are you?
Well, I play a lot. It just depends on what sandbox I'm in.
Yeah. Fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back with more.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long, brought to you on KINS in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Moore from Redwood Capital Bank. Pinch hitting for the bank, dude. At least we can talk about him if he's not here.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. You boy, that kind of sums up an awful lot of his life, doesn't it?
I can't say that.
I can.
I have to live with him.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Fred, with the natural disasters that are out, what kind of contingency planning do financial institutions on the West Coast, I mean, that's kind of our bailiwick here, have to anticipate? We've got the fires still going. Thankfully, they're far more under control today than they were the last little bit. We've got the earthquakes, we know. We got the windstorms, we know. We got the floods, we know. Everybody talks about Plan B. Do you guys have Plan B, C, D, E, F for natural disasters?
Short answer is yes. So we're required to have disaster and contingency planning, and we're also required by our own board to test that contingency plan once a year. So, for example, the bank is located downtown. We get a tsunami. We have a flood. We, as bank executives, as employees, can't access the building. We need to have a way to run that bank and ensure that our depositors can have access to their funds. Our loan clients can make their payments. So, yes, we have contingency plans. We test them at a bare minimum annually, and folks need to be ready for that. There's a cadre of employees that have access to this disaster recovery plan, and we test it. We test it with our employees. We test it with our vendors, the folks who run and manage our core database of loans and deposits. So the short answer is yes, the long answer I just gave.
The ATMs are always kind of an intriguing thing because, when we were focusing on the Y2K thing, and then even with Florida, access is tough. Electronics is tough. Okay, it becomes a cash-based society or a barter society or economy for a period of time. How do the ATMs work in that kind of a scenario? Do they just have a certain amount of money, and then once the cash is gone, hang a sign, say close for biz? I mean, you know, there's
like got
to be
a gas pump.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's kind of the parallel I was thinking. Yeah.
Okay. So the ATMs run on a network. So at the end of the day, they have money in cassettes. So they have cash in them, but in order for the customer to access them, those ATMs have to be connected to our database, which holds all the customer records. So if they're down, if they can't access the database, then unfortunately nobody's going to be able to get their money or make deposits. Some of the newer technologies, we have a cell phone, which is mobile capture. Folks, including my daughters who are college students, you give them a check, grandma gives them a check once a month. They just take a picture of that check and it's deposited automatically into their account. So they just shred it once it hits their account. So there are ways around this, but at the end of the day, you have to have an interface or a connection to the database.
So that kind of speaks to the need to have the technology functional in a multitude of physical locations so that if, let's say, a roof falls,
right,
and the computer is just kind of sitting there dying quickly, it doesn't bring everything down to scratch. Do you guys have I would imagine, are you mandated to have offsite?
You are. So okay. We run our database in a data center that has triple redundancy. So the bank is not the repository for all the information. It's in a secure facility that has two or three backup locations throughout the country. The key crux of that, again, goes back to connectivity. And in Humboldt County, having multiple points of entry for telecommunications is vital. So all of these initiatives to get duplicity, to get redundancy into the county for AT&T and Suddenlink, the bank is a big proponent and ultimately beneficiary of that.
How much is too much? Or is there such a thing for the redundancies? Yeah, we had it with the 299 corridor and thought we had it and found out not quite so. I can't imagine that there are too many communities other than those primarily within the listening area of the station.
Right.
That don't have 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 15. And there's never a question about it because there's so many coming in here and in Del Norte and Curry, you got one. And if you may have two, kind of feel cocky you got two of them.
Uh-huh.
Is that what is ideal from your perspective?
In terms of redundancy.
Yeah, for things like this.
Well, at the end of the day, what we do as bankers is evaluate, manage, and control risk. So how much is too much is a factor of your risk profile and your risk tolerances. So I can't really say, you said 4, 5, 6, 10. You want to have enough to make you feel like you've adequately controlled your risk to protect your shareholders. And for us, you know, we have 2 or 3. Again, it's a factor of geographic location. And, you know, we'll have as much as we think protects our shareholders and gives us the greatest amount of control.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been more push for satellite.
We do.
I know that's a really expensive thing now, but for regular guy, regular biz, mm-hmm. to do it that way, and then you're not worrying about the contractor cutting the line.
Really good point.
Thanks. It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Moore from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Fred, what are some of the biggest areas you would suggest for businesses in their contingency planning strategy? How goofy out do we go? Because I'm sure you could spend 150% of your total gross revenue on contingency planning.
I wouldn't suggest that.
I figure the banker part in you would kind of rear its head on that. But on the other side, flying with no insurance and having no plans and being constantly amazed and surprised probably isn't a real strong management theory to adopt either.
Right. There's got to be a happy medium.
Yeah. So
in there
between
somewhere.
those extremes, where do you counsel people to go?
As you're posing the question, the first place I would suggest or encourage folks to look at is backing up their data. So depending upon the nature of your business, you have critical files, mission critical files that if you were to lose those would imperil your business going concern.
Now, is that on the cloud or is that a actual tangible, you go home with it each night?
I'm going to sound like my boss here and say yes to the question. It could be either. Cloud-based storage systems are great. We use them to some extent or degree at the bank. But at that point, you really have to vet the redundancy of your cloud service provider. So it's great to have it in the cloud. What kind of securities or redundancies do they have in place to ensure that the information is secure?
Now, being a tangible guy, okay, great. Rock solid. Quadruple contingency. Uh-huh. No issue.
Right.
I'm thinking, okay, but if the internet's out, doesn't matter. If I can't get access to it, I can't get access to it. Give it to me in my hand.
God, you're a really good dance partner, so that's a nice...
I'm following
your lead here.
I still like reel-to-reels instead of CD players, though, too. So.
I noticed.
Yeah.
So that's a great segue into having a contingent source of connectivity. So for us at the bank, we may have one main data provider. You have a whole bevy of service providers. You've got Suddenlink, you've got AT&T, you have others. You have to have a combination of both. And again, it's how critical is it that you have this access to this information? So if you can access it via a phone line, but the data lines are down, you can still get to your data. So having it in the cloud is great. We also have it on thumb drives. Those thumb drives have to be secure. What if you can't get to your thumb drive? Where are you keeping your thumb drive? Is it at your house? Is it at your business? What if you can't get to your business? So all of those things need to be considered, and whatever combination gives you the comfort to sleep at night is kind of the barometer that I would use.
And probably the routine is something that you need to incorporate also so that you're not having to think about it. You do it.
There's no probable about that. I mean, yes, it needs to become part of your routine, because if it doesn't and you're anything like me, it won't happen. So you have to ingrain
that. We did
both
go to Eureka High.
Amen.
Figure it out.
Shout out to Eureka Public Schools.
It has to be drilled into us repeatedly.
Right. For better or worse.
Yeah. It's a recognition.
Right.
Some of the other challenges I would think, Fred, for smaller businesses, we had the whole thing with Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know what happened to all those generators. Everybody said they had gazillion backup. And then you get a little bit of a windstorm or an earthquake, and nobody has backup generators, or somebody hits a transformer on the power pole, and all of it, and the street lights don't work. You go, what happened to all of these generators? And I use that as an analogy to ask, okay, once you get your systems in place, now you got to maintain them.
You do.
How do you put that one on your priority scale if you are, let's say, a five a five-person business, but it's still critical to have everything in play. I mean, there's not a lot of free time, and you can't assign it to one person.
Right. Well, you got to put it in, as you said, it has to become part of your routine. With a five-person business, it's eminently more challenging than it is with a 50-person business. You have, obviously, more resources. At the bank, we test it. So let's turn off the internet. Let's turn off connectivity, and let's test our backup connections. Do they work? If they didn't, how do we fix that? So for us, it's ingrained in us. But for a small sole proprietorship.
Yeah, you're busting chops just to open the door.
Another good idea would be to have battery backups that would allow you to gracefully bring your computer systems down. So if that's 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, only the business owner knows what that requires. But again, that's something I would strongly encourage businesses to put in place if they haven't already done so.
Boy, I had another thought, and it escaped me, so hopefully I'll find it during the break.
Okay.
KINS News. Yeah, quick, let's start looking around. KINS.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Moore. I found my idea, by the way.
Excellent.
We've talked about hardware and systems backups, Fred, if there's or when there's emergencies. What about people backups?
Mm.
That's a whole different, at two levels. You know, we've got the one of, okay, gather around at the transmitter.
Mm-hmm.
Also, okay, once you're here, what you gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
To get the word out. That's kind of inbred into what our industry is. But I would think for a lot of others, maybe not so much so. So how do you get people backups?
Gosh, I initially think back to your last question of a five-person small business. That's really difficult. So I would say at that level, thinking of my wife as being the CEO of our family, I'm really her backup and she's really mine. So in small family-run businesses, you need to cross-train so that folks know how to handle the other side of the window, if you will. In a business like ours, we have some redundancies where it's practical to have that. For me personally, I like to train all the folks that I work with to do new projects each and every year. So if I'm in charge of investor relations, maybe cross-train somebody else to handle investor relations if, God forbid, I get hit by a bus or something happens.
Or vacation.
Well, what's that?
Yeah, see?
Vacation in Samoa.
Yeah. Yeah, the short commute option.
Right. Yeah. It sounds exotic.
Doesn't it, though? I would think that the tendency for a lot of businesses, well, and I suppose that there's also the urgency.
Right.
Yeah, if you're a retail clothier, maybe you need to be there, maybe tomorrow's okay.
Right.
Rather than some of those like you guys like us that are a little bit more urgent. But the cross-training, what's the phrase, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, you know. Don't have them drinking out of the fire hose when you're training.
Right.
A little bit. But
right.
Do you find a lot of businesses have plans to, in incremental steps, get folks at least to the dangerous level in other areas, other job functions?
Candidly, I do. So we have a lot of borrowers, as you can well imagine. We're vetting them in terms of what their needs are on a daily basis, how they run their business, and I think you would be surprised and encouraged by the amount of local businesses that have sophistication in terms of mission-critical backup. First thing I would say to your question would be prioritize. What's mission-critical and what isn't? Cross-train and ensure that you have backup on those mission critical functions for your respective business.
Yeah, I would think that our area is probably a little bit more geared in that direction just because we have the history of isolation on
Amen.
A regular basis.
That's absolutely true.
But if you go to Reading, I bet you the numbers are a little bit different there.
I don't know that I'd bet you on that. I think you'd probably be correct. Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think they're, you know, they don't have the same concerns we do. You know, you're
that's
here.
What I mean. Yeah, that we are more independent minded.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah. You're at the end of the power strip here. You know, we're turning into fall. You're probably going to lose power at some point. So
don't be surprised.
Right.
Yeah. How do you suggest? I know we've. Never mind. We're out of here.
I get that a lot.
Thanks. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.